Hello, Rainey.
Hello, Lolly.
How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Fabulous, fabulous. Today we are on episode 7 of Can't Handle the Crime and Scandal.
We're just flying through these stories, aren't we?
We are, and I will say this is definitely, it's pretty much my most favourite thing that I'm doing with my time.
Oh, well, that's because it involves me, right?
Absolutely. Look, I'm loving it so much and we're getting lots of good feedback. So just a real quick shout out to Katie, who normally listens to these on her drives, I think to work or maybe dropping the kids off. Thanks for listening. Thanks to everyone that's tuning in. If you are loving the podcast, please feel free to drop us a little rating, a little review, only if it's a good one, but we do appreciate it. It does help us get up there in the ranks.
Hi, Katie.
Hi, Katie. Rainey, I am going to tell you a little story today. It's a little juicy. It involves a little laser hair removal.
Oh, shit.
It involves a little fake doctor. Mm. It involves a lot. The whole thing is just absolutely insane. So we're going to dive right in, baby. Let's do it.
Woo!
April 14th, 2003. People make their way into work in the Park Avenue high-rise building in New York City. They're making their way up to the old Barclays Bank building, and they're just getting ready to settle into just a, you know, a seemingly normal Monday. They've got the busy work week ahead, doing their investment banking, their wheeling and dealing, whatever they get up to over there on Park Avenue. And as the morning's going on, people begin to notice that someone hasn't shown up to work.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, this is a little strange because this person whose desk sits empty is 35-year-old Maria Cruz. She's 35. Maybe something happened. It's 2003. I don't know what the situation with cell phones are back then, but maybe she couldn't contact the old office to let them know she was sick or her car broke down or maybe she had a raging night the night before. Who knows? This is the Big Apple after all.
Little hangover.
Yeah, so people just go about their day. Monday comes to a close. Tuesday rolls around. People make their way back into the office. Maria's desk still sits empty. Now, this is becoming a little unusual because Maria Cruz is an incredibly responsible, kind, quiet, and very shy person. It's just really out of the ordinary for her to not come to work. Now, Maria is actually from the Philippines. She moved to the United States of America in 1992, so she's only 24, but she had big hopes and dreams of, you know, moving out of the Philippines and finding a better life for herself.
Living the American dream.
That's it. And boy, did she find it. I mean, she was a true immigrant success story. Maria was a, well, she came over with a degree in communications. She went on to get another degree and get her MBA. From there, she went to get a job as a financial analyst at Citibank, and she went on to get a very good promotion at Barclays Bank as a senior financial analyst. What does all that mean? I don't bloody know. But it means that she works with money and investors.
She's smart.
She's one smart cookie, all right? She is doing them deals. She's doing them investments. She's doing them bankings, all right? She really is doing well. And you know what she's doing? She's bringing in some mean cash. When Maria moved to the States, she was living in a dorm with a group of nuns.
Wow.
So she's actually very religious, a devout Catholic. So she was living, yeah, in this community of like-minded women, nuns. I don't actually think she was a nun.
Sounds like she's very respectful and responsible.
It's so responsible, yeah. She even went on to get her very own fancy apartment in a high-rise building on the West End or the West Side. Look, guys, I haven't been to New York, but it all sounds very fancy. She's doing very well. She's raking in some mean cash. She's got a very good job, super respectful, hardworking woman. So where is Maria? This is very, very out of the ordinary. So her boss is like, we need to go and see if she's okay. As they approach her apartment, they notice a stack of mail that's beginning to pile up. So it's looking like maybe she hasn't been here for a few days. They knock on the door. They're asking neighbors. No one knows where she is. So from there, they actually find her emergency contacts listed in her employee information. And it's an aunt and uncle that actually live in New York as well. this point, it's now Wednesday. They are incredibly worried. They go to the police, they file a missing persons report, and then they go to Maria's apartment with the police and they go in to sort of have a look around. When they go into the apartment, this place is meticulously tidy, clean, nothing out of place, no sign of forced entry, no struggle. It is literally perfect. It's like she just left for the day and never came home. So naturally, Maria's friends and family are absolutely devastated. What could have happened to Maria Cruz? The police begin to create a little timeline of events. They can see the day before, so Sunday the 13th, Maria has gone to church, very dedicated Catholic woman. It apparently is Palm Sunday. As somebody who is not a dedicated Catholic woman, I don't know what Palm Sunday is. But she's gone there on that day and she is doing her thing.
Good on her.
She also, I know, absolutely. She's also headed out to the office on the Sunday. She's gone to collect some documents. We can see this on CCTV footage. We can also see Maria has headed to a different part of town and she has withdrawn $400 cash from an ATM. So investigators are thinking, maybe this is potentially what's happened. Someone has followed her. They have wanted her cash. I mean, Maria is a teeny tiny woman. She barely stands 4'11", so she's a pretty easy target.
So tiny.
Yeah, yeah. She's small. They can see that she took this money out and literally disappeared. Maria's family come over from the Philippines. Everyone is incredibly devastated. They are literally wallpapering the streets of New York City with missing flyers. They are putting up about 500 flyers a day. It is almost impossible not to see this woman's face. They are setting up websites for any tips or information. They're doing everything they can, but the case from there kind of goes cold. So the days turn into weeks, the weeks turn into months.
Oh, that's sad.
That is very, very sad. But 5 months later, the police get a bit of a win. They get a subpoena to go into Maria's emails. I mean, why it took 5 months? I don't actually know. It's kind of ridiculous, right?
Well, you think technology these days, you'd be like straight into it.
That's it.
Emails, cell phone locations. Maybe back then it was a little more difficult.
Very true. And I also did hear a statistic that in 2003, there were about 20,000 missing people reported in the United States. So you can just imagine how many people are going missing. There's probably not enough people to get stuck into these cases. I'm sure these detectives have mountains and mountains of cases they're working on.
Mm-hmm.
They can find this particular email that is actually looking a little interesting. And it's a email between Maria and a doctor. She has an appointment scheduled for a little laser treatment for the Sunday evening, the day that potentially she's gone missing. So these guys are like, great, let's go and see this doctor. He was potentially the last person to see Maria. So this email is signed off by the name Dean. So investigators are going to look for a Dr. Dean, last name Fiallo. He is the last person that has potentially seen Maria before she's gone missing.
I didn't realize they had laser hair removal back in 2003.
Well, you're going to find out all about it. So the investigators are going to look for this Dr. Dean. And what do you know? Dr. Dean is nowhere to be found. It's like Dr. Dean and Maria have both vanished. They do a little more digging and it turns out Dr. Dean isn't a doctor at all.
Fucking Dr. Dean.
Dirty Dean. Dirty dog Dean.
Dirty dog Dean.
So this is not sounding good, is it? Upon doing a little bit of investigating, they find that Dean is nowhere to be found, but he's also missed some court dates. Let's look at Dean. Who is this Dean? Why is he missing? Where could he be? So Dean was born in 1959 in a place called Madison in New York State. He was a very popular guy, super good looking. I mean, all the research they have done on this case, everyone talks about how good looking he was.
Ooh.
And I've got to admit, they weren't wrong. He was a tasty, tasty snack.
He's a hottie.
Good looking, in high school, super popular, voted most likely to succeed within his classmates. After high school, he has gone on to begin to study engineering. But after a few months, Dean is like, I'm not into it. I'm going to head to the Big Apple. So he is ditching school and he is making his way to the big city.
He's off to go be a pretend doctor.
That's it, very soon. Once he arrives, Dean actually gets into construction. He is doing a little DIY, a little renovation work around town. He's doing very, very well. But by nighttime, Dean is a go-go dancer. So he is working, in the nightclub scene. Dean is a real life version of someone out of the Village People. He is a construction man by day and a go-go dancer by night.
Holy shit. So tell me, a go-go dancer, because you're clearly Australian now.
Yeah.
A go-go dancer, is that just like a stripper?
So Dean was actually a very proud gay man. He was out and proud. Oh. So my imagination takes me to the gay nightclub scene. He's wearing a little G-banger and he is pouring booze over that six-pack. I don't know. Is that what you think? I think he's just, is that what they do?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So in the 1980s, the gay nightclub scene was popping off. Mm. I mean, you can just imagine. We didn't have phones back then, so I'm sure it was.
No Grindr.
No, there was no Grindr. So this is where.
Go get those go-go dancers.
This is where you meet in the gay scene, especially for the men.
This is where you go meet your grind.
This is where you go meet your grind, all right? The gay nightclub scene was a lot of fun. Dean was definitely at the center of the club scene and everyone knew who he was. There was always a lot of whispers about Dean because he was so good looking. Dean also, he was making a lot of money in construction, so he was just spending up large. He was also really getting into the nose beers.
The old little nose beers, eh?
Yeah,
what's that?
Dean was hitting the nose beers hard. He was into all of the party drugs and especially cocaine, if no one knows what a nose beer is.
It's just a little.
I'm sure Mark's going to edit it out. But anyway, he was living life, partying it up. One day, Dean gets a phone call for a job at this very high-end spa called The Beach. So Dean makes his way over to do a little renovation, a little bit of a repair, and he really hits it off with the owner, Michael Hart. These two very quickly fall into an intense relationship. They become a power couple. These guys are partying up large, spending up large, Broadway shows every week, five-star restaurants, big parties. Everyone knew who they were. They were having a good time.
They are living their best life.
They are. And like I said, Dean was super proud to be a gay man. I'm sure at the time, he was having a bloody great time. Michael really did bring out the best in Dean, apart from the nose beers, but he came to Dean one day and was like, Dean, I just think you're destined to do more than construction.
And go-go dancing.
And go-go dancing. You should become a laser hair removalist.
I mean, maybe back then it was a very
lucrative
role.
I know.
In 2003.
I mean, this really was the start of this new treatment. So Dean is like, yes, I'm going to do that. So Michael very kindly pays for Dean to go to cosmetology school and he studies electrolysis very quickly. I don't know why these stories, we all sort of have personal ties to the murderers, whether it's a bit of yoga or wanting to have a nose job.
Mm.
But didn't you study electrolysis?
I did. If anyone wants to know, I am a beauty school dropout.
She is very proud
school of dropout. So I did do electrolysis before I dropped out. So that's when basically a needle goes into the hair follicle and it kills the hair follicle so it doesn't grow back. But you need to do it a certain amount of time because there's all these different stages of hair. Oh my God, guys, should I go back into electrolysis?
Yeah, you should become a professor.
I mean, wow, I still remember.
That sounds so, hang on, whoa. They put a needle into the hair follicle.
Yeah, so obviously it's a small needle. It goes into the hair follicle and then you basically burn it. So it doesn't grow back again.
That sounds so painful.
Well, if you've got it in the right angle, it doesn't hurt. But Crystal did it on me, my sister, a few times and she burnt me.
But she did it on purpose.
You've got to do it a few times because the hair grows in different stages. So if anybody wants a session, I'm back.
I mean, you can do whatever you want. Apparently with this story, you'll find out. But I'm back. She's back, bitches. What are we going to call your clinic? Rainey's Real Smooth
Skin
Bodies. So bad.
Rainey's Smooth Bodies.
That's it.
No.
Smooth Bodies by Rainey.
Ah, there it is.
We got it. That sounds like it would be a very long treatment.
Okay, and I'm just going to say I don't think it's around anymore because it's been replaced by lazy hair removal. So
that's it. Okay.
I don't think I can start Smooth Bodies by Rainey.
I know. Just stick to podcasting.
Yeah.
He's gone to study. He studied all the things, cosmetology, electrology, laser hair removal. And he then begins to work at the beach. So Michael's spa. And again, this is the beginning of laser hair removal. So very expensive. The price tag is super, super high. So he's getting high-end clients. And Dean is bringing in the mean cash. He is responsible for all of the smooth legs and bald vaginas in New York City. Probably bald ball bags.
Oh, yeah. Smooth bodies.
He's busy. He's a busy, busy boy because people want this treatment and they will pay whatever they need to to get bald bodies. So from here, he buys a house. He saves enough money and he buys this beautiful kind of Victorian mansion on Elwood Avenue. Sounds super fancy.
Wow.
Guess where it is, Shireen?
Oh, I don't actually know.
Newark.
Newark. It's a Newark.
It's a Newark.
Okay, it's a Newark.
We did an episode a few episodes ago and we couldn't actually figure out how to say this place. It's actually Newark, N-E-W-A-R-K. So
Newark.
Yeah, so he's bought this place in Newark. It's a very old, big house, so it needs a lot of renovations, but it's doing really well. Laser hair removal is going. The business is booming. These guys are just living the dream, but very sadly, Michael gets diagnosed with AIDS.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's bad. Their whole world comes crashing down. He has a seven-month battle with this disease, but eventually it would kill him. So 7 months later, Michael's dead. Very, very sad.
That's, yeah. What year is this? Do we know?
That would be maybe mid to late 90s. So Dean is very sad, but he knows that Michael would want him to continue living his best life, following his career and being successful. So Dean leaves working at the beach and he approaches this woman. She's a dermatologist and she owns a clinic and he has come to, her name's Laurie Polis. And he goes to Laurie, hey, listen, lady, I would like to come and work for you. I would like to rent a space within your clinic and bring my clients. We can do a little deal. My clients will come to see you. Your clients will come to see me. Laurie thinks this is a fabulous idea and they begin working together.
Mm-hmm.
Dean, he's found himself a new man.
Oh, I mean, look, he sounds like he's pretty hot, so I'm not surprised.
Yeah, and he's actually bagged a Broadway star.
Ooh.
And these guys are bad news together.
Oh, I can imagine.
Can't remember his name, actually. The Broadway star, all right? They are partying hard. They are doing the drugs hard. But Dean is also working. He somehow has got this all under control, his party life, his work life, and he is doing really well at the dermatology clinic. Lots of clients, actually some really famous clients. It is said that he has even had high-profile stars like Madonna coming to see him for some laser hair removal.
Ooh.
Yeah, so he's doing really, really well. But then one day, Dean goes in to see Laurie in her office to break some really devastating news. Dean tells Laurie that he too has AIDS.
Well, I was going to ask. Shit.
Dean decides that he is going to move back to his parents' place in Florida. Everyone's very, very sad at the clinic. They throw him a leaving party and Dean heads on his way down to Florida. About 5 weeks pass and Laurie's going through the newspaper. And she finds an ad for this new clinic called Skinnovations.
See what's happening.
With
here.
Dean Fiallo.
Dr. Dean.
It turns out Dean didn't have parents in Florida and he didn't have the AIDS virus. So this piece of shit has been going around town stealing Laurie's clients, and he has gone and opened up his own clinic. I sounded so Australian then. Now, look, this is a dick move, but it is a dick move. I think the dick move was that he said he had AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
He obviously wanted to go out and open his own clinic, and look, I have definitely lied when leaving jobs because I want to soften the blow.
Oh, yeah. You haven't really gone and said you've got AIDS.
No.
Maybe gonorrhea. No.
Do you know one time an ex-boyfriend of mine drank some river water and got giardia giardia, but I got confused. So I was going around telling people that he had gonorrhea. That's very very incriminating. Holy shit.
Terrible.
Terrible. It was an ex-boyfriend, so maybe he did have it. I don't know.
Well, you won't know.
No, okay. He definitely didn't have it, all right? So anyway, Dean has set up his own practice. Pretty shit thing to do. But Laurie also notices on this ad, he is advertising for treatments that she knows Dean is not qualified to do. Mm. Beyond laser hair removal, he is removing moles, working with scarring and cysts, and just things that he is not qualified to do with a laser. Mm-mm.
Ooh, that sounds a bit scary.
It does sound a bit scary. So she has contacted authorities to let them know that he is basically providing services that he's not qualified for. They say unless it's a consumer complaint, they can't actually do anything about it, which absolutely blows my mind.
Wow.
I'm sure things have changed. You'd hope things have changed.
Especially in America. Gosh, the lawsuits would be huge.
They would be huge. Apparently she's tried to dob him in like 50 times. She's made that many phone calls. This is insane. So she really was trying hard. Dean is just lasering away moles and freckles and all kinds, and he just doesn't give a shit. He's raking in them big bucks. Him and his Broadway star boyfriend are hitting the drugs and the booze hard. It turns out Dean, he's fallen into some bad drugs.
Oh, uh-oh.
It goes way beyond the nose bears. I think we shouldn't say that, eh? We should not say nose bears.
Well, too late now.
So he is just, you know, lasering away over there at Skinnovations. He is removing freckles and moles and pimples and scarring. He's not even sending these moles away for a biopsy to see if they're cancerous.
Oh,
so it is bad.
Terrible.
We do not know the gravity of the situation, how many people were affected by this whole stint of unauthorized procedures. It could be very bad. We just don't know. Dean and his Broadway star boyfriend, they are spiraling. They actually replace the nose bears for a little nasal spray, a little opioid nasal spray.
Nasal spray?
Yes. There is a product called Stadol, an opioid nasal spray. It's a painkiller. Dean has actually stolen some Stadol from Laurie's clinic back when he was working. He got very addicted to this stuff. So I think what turned out to be maybe just a little spray here and there has now turned into quite a dependency on this product. It is so strong. It is about 5 times stronger than morphine.
Ooh.
Which is equivalent to about 2 times stronger than heroin.
Shit.
I know. I don't know why these products are on the market. It's absolutely mind-blowing. So again, this is an opioid. We all know that there is an epidemic in America with these products. I believe Stadol has been discontinued, but
thankfully.
He was going for it. He was highly addicted. One day, Laurie gets a phone call from the healthcare plan, and they want to know, why are you filling out so many prescriptions for Stadol? She is thinking, what are you talking about? No, I have not. So they've actually sent over some of the prescriptions, and she can see the signature has been forged and all these prescriptions are made out for Dean Fiallo. Like, how dumb are you, Dean? What a dumb idiot.
Let's just say it. He is a dumb
idiot. Finally gets the attention of the authorities because remember, Laurie's been trying to dob him in for all of his dodgy laser treatments. So they arrest Dean and he is charged with filling out fake prescriptions. The judge is very lenient. He takes a plea deal and he gets a suspended sentence and also has to go and do 6 weeks in rehab.
I mean,
it doesn't, I know.
Yeah.
This seems like pretty chill, doesn't it?
It's like the system over in New Zealand. It's very, we slap on the hand, isn't
really,
it?
Yeah, they're pretty lenient over there, aren't they, in New Zealand?
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't affect his clinic. He just gets straight back to work after his rehab. He actually meets a new boyfriend because the old boyfriend's out. These guys are toxic. They are not good together. He meets a new boyfriend, a very nice man named Greg. Things are going well. He's cleaned himself up. He's not on Stadol. He is treating patients, making money. Everything's going well. Laurie, on the other hand, she is pissed because not only has he got away with doing all these fake prescriptions, but he's over there at Skinnovations just whipping out the laser left, right, and center. She is not happy. So she decides to go to the media. She's tried every other avenue, but she's going to take Dean down. So she rings up a journalist and lets this woman know what's going on. At some point, there's actually a few newspapers that are going in to try and do a little undercover sting operation. So these women go in there with undercover cameras and recording devices.
And some hairy armpits.
And some hairy armpits. And they go in and a little hairy mole. They have a consultation and one of the women says to Dean, it's on camera, I can trust you, right? You are a doctor. Dean replies, yes, you can trust me. He doesn't say yes to the doctor. So she's like, oh, almost got him. So then she, a little bit later on into the consultation, she asks again, you are a doctor, right? And Dean says, yes, I am. Boom, daddy, we got you. Dean going down. A day or two later, the stories broke. This was the thing that was needed to finally get Dean arrested. So Dean is arrested. This is all over the news. Fake doctor doing laser treatments beyond the hair removal scope of practice that he was allowed to do. Once again, the judge is just super lenient. He is sentenced to, well, practicing without a license. He gets 3 years, but they reduce that just down to 6 months.
Prison or probation?
No, he goes to prison. He goes to prison. But only for 6 months. Rainy. Dean gets released. Not even 24 hours later, he is back at the clinic, zip-zapping away on people's legs.
No, he's not.
He is. And people are actually working out of this clinic and they cannot believe their eyes. They just cannot believe what's happening. They confront him. Dean gets all of his belongings, his laser treatment equipment, and he skedaddles. He gets on out of there. Greg, his loving boyfriend, who's actually living in the house that Dean owns, the Victorian mansion, he has been really good to Dean during this time. He's paid all of the bills. He's bailed him out. He's just been there for Dean. But Dean has been a shitty, shitty boyfriend. So Greg's just, you know, the cracks are forming with these guys. Dean has fallen into a deep depression after getting out of prison. The drugs have returned. He is back to pumping that Stadol up his nostril. Oh. He is also doing some treatments with some old clients out of a friend's apartment. So I don't know why you'd show up to an apartment for some laser hair removal, but I guess they're a loyal fan base.
He's hitting rock bottom.
He is hitting rock bottom. His financial situation gets so, so bad that they decide to sell the mansion. They have to get rid of this beautiful home on Elwood Crescent. Greg is also like, you know what? I deserve better than this dirtbag Dean. And he did. He really, really did. Dean and Greg have parted ways. Dean moves in with another friend. His name is Mark. Greg is owed about $85,000 at this point because he's been paying for everything, all the bail. They finally get a buyer for Elwood Crescent. They have to do a bunch of repairs. Dean's obviously a handyman, so he's going to do all the repairs. At this time, he's living with Mark, and Mark has described Dean as the worst housemate on the planet. It's like a nightmare situation for him. Dean is sleeping all day, eating all of his food, wearing his clothes, doing all the drugs, just being a piece of shit.
Absolute loser.
So Mark's like, get the fuck out of here, Dean. Kicks him out. He gave him a few weeks' notice to find somewhere else. But Dean one day was like, I'm going into town. He borrowed a suitcase and Dean just left. Was never seen again.
See you later.
Greg is trying to track down Dean because Greg's like, I want my money. You owe me $85,000. He's pretty pissed off. He gets a phone call from Dean's lawyer because Dean hasn't shown up to a couple of his court dates. So obviously he's left. He's got out of prison, but there are still some things happening in the court system. Dean is a no-show. So Greg is pissed. He is just pissed. The house is sold. He's calling lawyers. He's calling the investigators because he wants to know what's going on. Like, where is Dean? He gets on the phone with Brian, a private investigator. And Brian says to Greg, it's so strange. I don't know why he wouldn't show up because it's not like the court proceedings or charges were life ruining. It wasn't anything too serious. And Brian sort of throws out this comment, which took Greg by surprise. Brian said, well, maybe it's because we had contacted him in regards to a missing person.
Ooh.
And Greg's like, a missing person? What are you talking about? Brian's like, yeah, we've been looking for this woman named Marie Cruz, and she went missing in April 2003, 5-6 months earlier. Greg's like, April, that's interesting. A lot of shit happened in April with Dean.
Ooh.
Greg says to Brian, that is so strange. Like, I just don't understand. But I did actually get a phone call from a mutual friend who was a doctor around that time who told me that Dean had called him several times about a patient of his that was having an allergic reaction. This mutual friend who was a doctor had asked Dean to call 911 to get an ambulance. Dean had actually called him back and said, false alarm, everything's fine. She's totally fine. They get off the phone. The doctor rings back again. He's like, I think you should take her to the hospital. And Dean's like, no, I've asked her what she wants to do and she said that she's fine. So this doctor has actually told Greg that this has happened. So Greg's mind's actually going, well, that's interesting. That's around the same time as this person's gone missing. Mm. He gets off the phone with Brian and his head is just spinning because more things are coming to mind around this particular time of the year. One particular incident was the final day of this house sale. So they've been doing all these repairs, renovations. He wakes up early in the morning to find Dean in the garage doing some construction work, which was really weird because remember, Dean is a bit of a druggie. He is never up that early.
He is a couch potato.
He comes into the garage. Dean is laying a little concrete slab.
Oh, no.
Holy shit. He's laying a little fresh concrete slab and Greg's like, what are you doing? And Dean goes off his nut. He tells Greg to fuck off, basically. Get the F out of here. This is none of your business. These are the final repairs. He's smoothing over his concrete slab. And it just really stuck out in his mind because he's like, just so strange.
Oh.
Greg writes a letter to Brian, the investigator, just detailing all of this stuff. And he's hoping that maybe it's nothing, but the phone call from the doctor friend, the concrete slab, he's like, this is weird. I just need to get this off my chest. Investigators, they look at this and they go, right, Maria's missing. No one can find Dean. He was the last person to see Maria. We need to get a search warrant for this house. So they contact the new owners. They get a search warrant. They head on in with their jackhammers, Shireen.
Oh, no.
The jackhammers start away at the concrete. There is chips and dust flying everywhere. It doesn't take long as the concrete begins to break apart. There, beneath the concrete, is a suitcase.
Oh, fuck.
They open the suitcase and out comes a very bad smell of a decomposing body. In this suitcase are the remains of a very small person.
Mm.
They take the remains away. They are able to identify the body as Maria Cruz. She actually had implants and there was some serial number on the implants. Fucking Jesus. So this is very bad.
That is so horrific. I honestly didn't think we're going to be getting to this point of the story. My God.
I know. We got go-go dancers. We got nose bears. We've got laser hair removal. We've got bald bikini lines. And now we've got a body in a suitcase underneath a concrete slab. It is just,
wow.
You can't make this shit up.
No.
They now need to find Dean. Where is Dean? He's got a lot of explaining to do. So they do a little bit of homework. It doesn't take long to find out that Dean has gone to Costa Rica, baby.
No.
Yes, Shireen.
Has he gone for a little nose job?
I guess so. Honestly, I guess, you know, if you have done a murder and you need to run away, don't go to Costa Rica because they're going to find you.
Shit, yeah.
Yeah, so they head to Costa Rica. There's actually some journalists that did those undercover stories. They've gone to Costa Rica too. Everyone wants to find Dean. They track his whereabouts or his movements pretty easily because Dean didn't go over there and was trying to be incognito. He was hitting the gay nightclub scenes, drinking, making friends, living the high life. He was not trying to hide. He was watching sunsets and was on the beach and having just the best time. He's actually moved around a little bit. He's made his way to a small kind of mountainous resort, beautiful town. He has befriended a couple that I'm not sure if they work or owned this resort. And this couple is like, you should come and live with us. You're wasting all your money here. So he moves in with the couple. One day he opens his email. He sees on his email the article of Maria's body that's been found.
Oh, wow.
Like, holy shit. He is in.
Holy shit.
Holy shit. He's in panic mode. So he leaves, but he goes to another very remote town. It's not long after that he's staying in a resort. Idiot. The people that work at the resort, they happen to see his face on a newspaper. So they call local authorities. Local authorities come on down to the resort. And do you know where they find Dean? Just sitting at the pool drinking a pina colada.
Just doing some go-go dancing, baby.
Yeah, so he gets arrested. They arrest him for overstaying his visa. So I guess this is how they draw these people in when they arrest them.
Mm.
This gets even more ridiculous. So Dean lawyers up. So this is February 26, 2004, by the way, almost a year after Maria's gone missing.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lawyer. Authorities are trying to get him back to America. His lawyer has this brilliant idea. So he's been arrested. I believe they've bailed him out. I don't know how.
Jeez.
I don't really understand. But he is not currently in prison from what I have read. He goes back to the couple that he was staying with. So obviously he's lied or has tried to kind of talk his way out of it. His lawyer convinces this couple to move forward with the legal proceedings to adopt Dean.
No. What the?
But there is this loophole in Costa Rica that if you are a Costa Rican citizen, you cannot be extradited. So they're like, this is our chance. Oh, and God. Dean says, you know what? Fuck it, let's give it a go. I've got nothing else to lose.
Come on, mummy and daddy.
They go through the court. They go through the court system, which drags out for like a year, which is keeping him in Costa Rica, is keeping him from being extradited. Oh, but God. Ultimately, the judge rules against it. The reasoning being that they were younger than Dean, so they couldn't adopt him. So, it's so fucked up. Hey, look, you gotta try anything, right?
This is like a fucking comedy show. I know. At this point.
I know.
Apart from, obviously.
I know. Yeah. And this is why it's so crazy, because there's this horrible thing that's happened, but everything outside of it's like, far out, this is a fucking soap opera. They finally get Dean back to the US. He is arrested. He takes a plea deal of first degree assault and practicing without a license. I know, I don't even understand how. Dean seems to be quite lucky. Perhaps it's his good looks and his charm. Like, he is a very charming fella.
Yeah.
He looks like he's straight out of Grey's Anatomy. So I guess, you know, it's like, it just works for him.
Mm.
So he is sentenced to 20 years. The truth finally comes out, Shireen. So what has actually happened is Maria was a loyal customer of Dean's. She'd actually seen Dean about 10 to 15 times.
Wow.
To get some work done on some scarring on her legs. She really took pride in her appearance. She was very tidy. She did a lot of treatments. She really looked after herself. There is actually some misleading information out there. There is a 2020 documentary with Dean Fiallo actually on the doco explaining everything that happened. Everything else that I've read was talking about Maria having a condition called black hairy tongue, which sounds disgusting, I know. I mean, I would be wanting to get some laser hair removal for that too. But it actually isn't hair on the tongue. It's like taste buds turned black. It's something to do with, yeah. So it generally goes away on by itself. So people were saying that she was going to him for that, but in his own words has said, she was coming to me for scarring on her inner thighs. So this is just one of these normal treatments. He's just recently come out of prison with practicing without a license, and she doesn't mind. She's like, no, I trust you. Let's continue the treatments.
Mm.
So he is treating her, and it's very, very painful, and she's just really struggling. So he offers to give her some more lidocaine, which is a local anesthetic. So he has given her a couple of doses, and I guess it was just a couple of doses too many.
Oh, God.
Because she has either had an allergic reaction or her body has gone into shock. We don't really know. But as he's treating her, he notices her breathing. I guess he can hear that her breathing has become very labored. And he looks up and he can see that there's foam coming out of her mouth.
Oh.
She's gone very limp. So he goes into a panic. This is where he's called his doctor friend to say she's gone into shock.
Mm.
This friend has said, call 911. He doesn't. He just panics. He just presumes she's dead.
Yeah.
Her body's gone limp. Shireen, in the interview on 2020, the guy asks, did you check a pulse?
Oh, no.
And he says, no.
Oh.
The interviewer says, why? And he goes, I didn't know how to check a pulse.
Oh, for Christ's sakes.
I know. This is so fucked up. So then he happens to have a suitcase. So he puts her body, her presumed lifeless body, in the suitcase, and he gets on out of there. He puts her in the trunk of the car and he leaves her there for 2 days.
Ugh.
I just hope that the lidocaine potentially was the thing that actually did end her life, because you think about, holy shit, fucking hell. Honestly, oh, Shireen, yeah. I don't even, my mind doesn't even want to go there. Like, imagine if she just came to, oh my God.
Well, there you go. Yeah, she'd suffocate.
Yeah, no, it's just fucked up.
Yeah.
From there, he's left her there for a couple of days trying to figure out what to do, and that's when he has that light bulb moment of putting her under the concrete and just leaving town. The thing is, though, he didn't actually leave town for like 5 months.
Yeah.
I don't know if he got wind that investigators were coming to find him, because that's when he left.
Yeah.
When we look at this story as a whole, ugh, it's just really horrendous. to think that Greg walked in on Dean laying that concrete. If he didn't, Maria, I'm sure, would still be under there to this day.
Of course. Well, the other thing is the email. If he just said, oh, it was a treatment and then I didn't see her again.
Yeah, there's lots of little breadcrumbs that led to finding Maria's body, which is just an absolute miracle. Dean has said in the interview, he just reacted. There was nothing premeditated about it. He just panicked. And he had just recently got out of prison for practicing without a license, which ultimately, this is what they were trying to prevent, something like this happening. Yeah. Like, he just wasn't qualified to do these kinds of treatments and work with these kinds of anesthetic. And I just think Dean lived his life being this beautiful, charismatic man. Things went really well for Dean.
Yeah.
Always. He always had this influx of money and partying and friends and boyfriends. He just got away with so much. Even when he was getting caught in these prescriptions and then being a fake doctor, it still was very lenient. The punishment wasn't that bad. I guess he just, and again, fleeing off to Costa Rica, he just thought he could get away with anything. It's very sad.
Yeah.
It was a very, very painful experience for Maria's family.
Terrible.
Still to this day, it's just so horrendous to think back on. And some divine, universal timing and intervention. Dean was released from prison in January 2022, so he served about 18 years.
Wow.
He died.
No, he didn't.
In January 2024.
What?
I know. And the weird thing is I can't find the cause of death. And I actually had this one sort of, you know, I was going to work on this for a while. I had no idea that he'd actually died. No one actually talks about him dying because all the podcasts that I've listened to and articles were actually pre-2024. So how crazy. He's been in prison for 18 years and he gets out for like little over a year and he dies.
I reckon it's fentanyl.
Oh, you reckon?
Well, if he's got out of prison, fentanyl's a new thing. He's probably gone and had a little try of that.
Well, maybe.
Overdosed.
Well, the thing is, though, he actually obviously sobered up in prison and became, well, he claimed to be a new person. And in this interview, it's very interesting because he read out an apology letter for the first time to Maria's family. He was very quiet. He admitted to everything that he'd done. He was very open, but he didn't look well. He looked very frail and small. So I do believe he actually was HIV positive. Whether or not that was the thing that led to his death, I really don't know.
Yeah, right.
That is the very tragic story of Maria Cruz and the crazy wild life of Dean Fiallo. Rainey, can you handle that crime and scandal?
Absolutely not. It does sound like it's some sort of crazy soap opera, but when it comes to the murder, well, the unintentional murder of this poor woman. And look, who knows? Maybe she could have been helped. She could have been having an allergic reaction and maybe she wasn't dead. So it's just so insane.
Ooh.
The unknown, very, very sad. And I think this guy's just a fucking idiot and he just got himself in too deep. He just went onto this really bad path with drugs. It's terrible. So no, I cannot handle.
Crazy.
So that leads me to the question for you, Lolly. Can you handle this crime and scandal?
Now, before I answer this question, Rainey, I just want to say that what happened to Maria was so tragic. It's so sad and it is very scary to think that you can just go out there and put your trust into somebody that potentially is not who they say they are. But I can kind of handle this because, this is going to sound so weird, this is the kind of story that I can handle because it's not a premeditated murder where someone has gone out to get somebody because of greed or money or look, this sounds so bad. It is terrible. I can't handle what happened. But when I hear this, it doesn't make me feel like, I don't know, does this really matter?
No, should I not say this? I get it. It's like you can handle what happened.
It's like this person was just so high and full of his own importance and he did something stupid and he just panicked and he made a really bad choice. This doesn't take away what happened to Maria. I don't think it is very tragic. It's so incredibly sad. I'm just like, oh my God, this is so insane. Like when I hear the story,
he hasn't gone out to go and intentionally kill someone. He didn't go and murder someone because he felt like it. It just was an accident, a dumb accident.
Yeah. And really dumb choices.
Yeah.
And he got charged with first degree assault. So it wasn't actually, it wasn't like he set out to murder her. It was probably more like manslaughter. He'd actually just contacted 911. So look, yes and no. I can't handle what's happened to Maria. It's very, very sad, but there's something about it. It's not like your typical gory crime where someone's gone out and stalked someone.
I get that. Totally get that.
Yes and no. That is our episode number 7. I just want to also say go home and love your fur babies because our poor Rainey lost her beautiful Cat Bruce this week.
God damn it.
I know. I just want to take a moment to just say how important our fur babies are. And poor Shireen's cat got hit by a car and it's very sad.
Yeah, it really sucks. It really sucks, guys. So just, you know, lock them up and don't let them outside. You just never know. But yeah, I wish I could have one more little cuddle with little Bruce and I can't. So it is very sad. But thanks for the little shout out, Lolly.
That's all right, Rainey. Sorry to end on a sad note. We will be back with the jokes next week.
We will.
All right. Love you guys. love you, Rainey. Lolly. And you guys listening at home.
All right. Bye.
Bye.